your host for Lacrosse Talk PM, Rick Sola.
Gathered here today in front of my old elementary school, Roosevelt Elementary, on the north side of Lacrosse, where I was born and raised. Because 26 years ago, almost to the day, this is where I made my kickoff announcement for the first time that I'd be running for representative of the 3rd Congressional District. And now, 26 years later, I'm here to announce that this will be my last term in office. I will not seek re-election as representative of this congressional district come next year.
All right, you heard it right there, Ron Kind. Now, I got Brad Williams in here, Wiz of News. He was at the press conference today. Ron Kind announcing, some people have said, his retirement.
It is retirement. He will retire at the end of this term, which is 16 months
retiring from the U.S.
House of Representatives. Yes, we don't know what his next move will be. He doesn't seem to know. If he knows what his next move will be, he isn't saying. It sounds like at this point he's just saying, I'm not running next year, and we'll figure out what happens down the road.
Yeah, he kind of left the door open, and we want to just speculate right away. So he announced his retirement.
We want to speculate, right? That's why we're here. It's a talk show.
Because he announced he's not seeking re-election for the 3rd Congressional District.
That
so
is
he
right.
Really left the door open very, very slyly there. Maybe not so slyly, but... Do you want to talk about his legacy and what it means for the district losing someone that's been here for 26 years? Some would say that's a good thing because 26 years is a long time for one person to be representing an area. And then maybe just in terms, how about this? Do you have any? And I'm going to have UW political. Well, do I still call him UW Lacrosse political science professor?
He is a lacrosse political scientist.
Joe Heim, he's going to come in here, and maybe he could talk about the legacy that Kind leaves in the U.S. House itself,
right?
Because obviously 26 years, he's got to be up there as one of the longest running House members, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, he's definitely had the seat in the 3rd District longer than anybody else.
Right. But in terms of the House itself, but maybe he is up there.
I mean, and this is an era where people routinely talk about we should have term limits. We shouldn't have people serving there for 26 years or however long other people have been. Many, many people who are in top levels of Congress have been there much longer than Ron Kind. But he came in 1996. He was on the staff of the Lacrosse District Attorney's Office.
Don't hit your hands on that.
Oh, don't hit my...
No, I'm going to get a stick.
Should I clap like this?
I'm going to get a stick. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
No. All right. So Ron Kind has born and raised in Lacrosse, north side of Lacrosse. Roosevelt School is where he went to grade school. A Logan graduate. He was top quarterback and basketball player at Logan. Quarterback at Harvard. And he also studied in London as well. And before he was elected to Congress, 1996, he was on the staff of the district attorney's office in La Crosse County. And he had previously run for one other seat. He had run for school board in La Crosse and not won that election before he ran for Congress in 96. This is when Steve Gunderson, longtime congressman, retired in 96 after 16 years.
So in terms of running for office, he's 14 out of 15 then?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it 14 terms?
This is his 13th term.
13 terms. So 13 out of 14. Not a bad hitting percentage.
Right.
But he announces, and it was kind of what you would expect from a retirement announcement, not seeking re-election. Then he talks about all the things he felt good about accomplishing over the 26 years. And then he thanked a bunch of people, and that was it. He didn't take questions or anything.
Did not take questions. I imagine that he will, when he is ready, announce what he wants to do next.
But what questions did you have for him? I mean, obviously...
Well, everybody was going to ask him the same thing. Why did you do it now?
Yeah.
Do you think... does this make it harder for the Democrats to hold on to the seat? Because the Republicans have been wanting to get this seat back forever, basically since he's been there.
Yeah, is it the only competitive seat, I believe, in Wisconsin?
It is the most competitive seat. This is like the seat everybody is watching for next year, even before Ron decided that he wasn't going to run again. This is the seat because it was the closest race. It was really the only competitive house race in Wisconsin last year. It was
that's what I'm saying. It was
decided by less than 3 percentage points between him and Derek Van Orden.
It would be interesting to see how the lines are redrawn for the districts.
That's another thing, yeah.
Because Ron Kind's district, first of all, I was under the assumption that this was just hit handed to him every year. But the district's so screwy because it goes and grabs every UW school in the area.
There have been many years where you could say it's been handed to him because this has been a strange situation. As much as Republicans have wanted to get this seat back, every year they picked a new person. They have never run the same person twice until now.
A couple of years ago, they didn't run anyone.
That is another ludicrous. Strange one. That was 2016.
Yep.
They didn't run anybody against him the year that Donald Trump got elected. And they saw that Trump took the third district. He took Wisconsin. It's like, and you know, they're, you know, hitting themselves in the forehead. Right. I could have had a V8. It's like, we could have run somebody against him. So they have been quite aggressive the last 2 years in trying to have somebody run against him. And Derek Van Orden came as close, pretty much as close as anybody to winning the seat away from Kind. He has had the other two really close races he's had in the past were against name politicians, former Senator Dale Schultz, State Senator Dale Schultz, and former State Senator Dan Kopanky as well.
Obviously the Van Orden race last term or last election was the closest one ever. Was there anyone even close before that?
I think the closest one before that was Dan Kopanky, and that was in the 2010 race.
Do you want to speculate as to, or should we let Joe Heim speculate as to who's going to fill the seat?
I think we can, that's a couple of things. Is the question is now, seems like the Republican Party was pretty much committed to having Van Orden run again next year and nobody else. That's been one of the strange parts of this district, is that they've generally tended to pick somebody, have them run against Kind, and then next election pick somebody else and run against Kind. And do they open it up to somebody else, or they basically say, no, you almost won it last year, so this is your seat, this is your chance? This opens it up, of course, to a lot of people, and we have a lot of people who are in office right now who are Democrats. Some of the people who were standing outside Roosevelt today might be thinking of running as well. You had State Senator Brad Paff. We don't know if he's going to. He worked for Ron Kind for a long time. He is now State Senator. Former State Senator Jennifer Schilling was there. You have Steve Doyle, you have Jill Billings, you have, and that's just La Crosse area. You've got a whole 19-county district there. You have people from Eau Claire who might want to run, and Stevens Point who might want to run, and Prairie du Chien.
When you mention all those people that were at his press conference today, were any of them rubbing their hands really easily?
They aren't going to do that. They have too much of a history with Ron Kind.
All right, that's Brad Williams, Wisdom News. All right, Brad, I'll give you 20 seconds to get back to the newsroom to do the news, so you have to sprint. thanks a lot. All right, so coming up on the show, Joe Heim, political science professor here in La Crosse. He's going to help us break down the Ron Kind's retirement, 26 years in the House of Representatives, representing our district here, the 3rd Congressional, announces retirement today. And then after that, I'm hoping that Democratic Party Chair of La Crosse County, William Garcia, can join and call in and just talk about the impact there. And we'll see what else he has to say. We'll see. Okay, Brad's in the newsroom. I can get back to him. That's enough stalling. All right, we'll be back. All right, welcome back to La Crosse Talk PM. 608-785-7914 is the talk and text line. Political science professor Joe Heim on with me now. Going to try to help break down Ron Kind's retiring. I call it retiring, Joe, but it's kind of like he left the door open to not just outright retire. He kind of left it. Did you listen to the press conference or not?
Yes. I did. I listened to what you were talking about it, though.
Oh, sure. So well,
I had the script that you had, you know, the segment of his. Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, do you think there's a little bit of a door left open so that he can, that Senate seat looks pretty enticing?
I think that there's some options here. He very clearly did not want to say what those options were, but I think He's got some options that we haven't thought about. One of them would, by the way, he's 58 years old. That's a little early to retirement. Also, I think he's got a couple kids, two boys. One's in college already, and I think the other is going to be on there soon. So he may be thinking a little bit more about income as well. So he may be a little early to retirement. And, you know, one option would be, you know, I had thought about it. Obviously the U.S. Senate would be an open seat. He is always discussed as a possible candidate for governor for U.S. Senate seats, even when they're open. And for whatever reason, he has never really pulled the trigger. So one option would be the U.S. Senate seat. But there are already, eight, nine people running for that or have thrown their hat into the ring, so I'm not sure about that. One other option, which I hadn't thought about, but he could be appointed to something by the Biden administration, you know, an ambassadorship someplace or some other position of some kind. That may be in the offing as well, or at least a possibility.
Well, you talk about he's got a couple of kids in college, one maybe heading to college. I think they were there, too. Senators and House representatives, Joe, they make the same amount. They make $174,000, so it's not he'd have to get a better job.
Yeah, the reason people switch to the Senate is it's a 6-year term rather than 2 years. You know, and when you're in Congress and the House of Representatives, you are running almost constantly. You're running for re-election as soon as the last election is over with. Running every 2 years can be a real burden.
Yeah,
and this is a very large district, as you know. I mean, it looks like a Y right now. It goes from Hudson down to almost to the border of Illinois. Goes to as far east as Stevens Point. And there's no single dominant city like Milwaukee or Madison that controls the media. So this is a tough district to run in. And at some point, maybe it just worries you down.
Yeah, at one point, I think I have the clip here. If you want to just listen in here, Joe.
The truth is, I've run out of gas. At the end of this term, it'll be 26 years of running back and forth to Washington, D.C., of traveling around, but it's an all or part of 19 counties, about 5 hours from north and south, and that takes its toll.
So right there, you heard him say the same thing that you had to say. It's almost like you listened, but you didn't. That it's just a huge, and it's weird, right? Maybe the district changes when we redraw the maps, because I talk about it all the time. It just goes and grabs all the UW schools, so it's kind of a funky district.
Yeah, it's. I think early on he did very well on the campuses. I think there are five UW system campuses. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
yep,
six,
five.
Actually, six districts, including Stevens Point. But the point I'm making is that this is a tough district, basically, in general. 10 years ago, when they redistricted, you know, the Republicans controlled the redistricting process. And so in 2011, they redistricted, and the rumor was that I had heard, I'll pass this on, they wanted to make the 7th district safer for Republicans, so they moved about 5,000 Republican votes up into that district. They moved about 5,000 Democratic votes into the Kine district. So both of them presumably were going to be more safe. Well, that's worked out quite well for the 7th district, but not necessarily. And Tom Tiffany, I think, is holding that seat right now.
Yep.
But 10 years, things changed a little bit, didn't they? From a safe district 10 years ago, and still oftentimes the moderators and people that do this type of stuff have identified this as lean district, or lean Democratic, or safe Democratic. But the fact is, the last two elections, Donald Trump carried the district in 2016 and 2020, and that gives you an idea that the district has changed.
But
and I think maybe the congressman is looking at that saying, you know, I'm going to have another tough race coming up here, and maybe it's time to move on.
Political science professor Joe Heim joining us. All right, JP texted in, and I'll argue with this too a little bit. I don't care what party a politician is with. That's too many years in office to get too comfortable and go along with the flow. My response to that, Joe, is, and you kind of alluded to it just before, the U.S. Congress runs every 2 years. There's no real, you know, like, if I don't know about term limits for a House representative, because they're running every 2 years. They're campaigning almost all the time. If we wanted to vote them out, we don't have to wait very long.
Yeah, I probably have changed my mind a little bit over the years in terms of term limits, because there's certain advantages for an incumbent in terms of raising money, name identification. In this district especially, it's just very difficult to run as a first-timer. So times have changed, and things have gotten a little bit more difficult for an incumbent. You know, despite the fact that we have a lot of incumbents in Congress, one of the advantages of 2-year terms is that you don't have to run again. And what is happening is more and more senators and congressmen are retiring because the running in Madison and Washington, particularly in Washington, has gotten very difficult. And a lot of them are saying, you know, I've had enough of this. Life is too short to deal with what's going on in that city. It's become more and more difficult. You know, people like Ron Kind, you know, you were mentioning earlier about a legacy. He's a moderate Democrat in a district which really has oftentimes gone Republican, Democrat, depending on, you know, whatever the race is in the candidates. So this is a flip area. And consequently, you know, in some areas in the country, that's simply not the case anymore. You know, it's become more Democratic or more Republican, and the moderates in both parties have slowly been disappearing. And so what Congressman Kine has done over the years is work well with the people across the aisle, but it has become less and less an advantage, frankly, and more difficult for both parties, frankly.
All right, so what's Derek Van Orden's already announced he's running. It's like the first time ever anyone has announced two times in a row that they're running against Ron Kind. And me and Brad talked about it earlier, the pretty ridiculous that when Donald Trump won the district, nobody ran for Republicans for Ron Kind's seat. But what is the strategy for Republicans? Do they just let Van Orden run, or do they – I feel like some other people would be like, you know what, now that this seat is open, I want a chance at it.
Yeah, it is. If you look back in history, a lot of the congressmen in Wisconsin stay in that office for a long time. We don't turn over people very quickly, and part of it has to do with redistricting in general, but it's so rare that there's an open seat. You know, you might be a state senator or a state representative and or a governor or mayor or whatever, and you might think, you know, this is an open seat. This is such a rarity. It's time to run. So I would tend to think that some people out there might be thinking of running. Derek Van Orden came out as a very conservative Republican. There are more moderate Republicans out there that might be thinking of jumping back into the race or jumping into the race in the future. It's such a rarity. So, you know, you take your chances, whatever you want to do.
What about Democrats? Hypothesize, pick some names. Who do you think would be good to, for the Democrats to run here?
Yeah, well, there's no immediate logical person. You know, there some candidates just jump, oh, that's the logical person, basically. The advantage of announcing this early, by the way, is exactly that. It gives the Democrats a chance to think about it, to start raising money, perhaps, check it out. Check out the field to see whether or not they would have the kind of support that they could need in the in a primary election. You assume there's going to be a bunch of people running in the primary on the Democratic side. The obvious candidates, I'm going to throw out Jill Billings and Steve Doyle, both logical in this area. North of us, there's a Senator Jeff Smith, goes from Eau Claire down to, I think, Trempealeau. He ought to be considering it. And I think those are the names at least that pop into my head. Brad Paff, I think being a new state senator, I suspect he would be less likely to consider it, basically. I'll throw in former Senator Jennifer Schilling. I would bet that over the years she's at least thought about it. If Ron had retired earlier, I think that she would have been a very logical candidate, you know, given especially her longevity and her leadership in the state legislature. So those are names that pop up immediately, but you can assume there'll be some other ones.
There might be 10 people, right? I mean, that wouldn't be surprising.
No, it wouldn't be surprising. State senators and state representatives are the ones that immediately come to your mind. I was trying to think of if any mayors of La Crosse or Stevens Point or Eau Claire might be likely, but it seems like that is a less and less jumping off point for a congressional race.
Well, and you mentioned the district's so big, and Ron Kind even mentioned it, 5 hours to get one place to the other. You know, Mark Newman kind of experienced that, right? He's a retired doctor here in La Crosse, tried to run against Ron Kind and just got smashed because, you know, name recognition, right? But that maybe opens the door for him to rerun again. And, you know, but anyone else, even like if you just want to go to our mayor, Mayor Mitch Reynolds, like people in La Crosse know him, but beyond that, nobody's going to know who he is.
Yeah, it's a daunting task to basically get your name out in a district this big, frankly. You need a lot of money, and that's one of the requirements, frankly. You've got to be able to show that you can raise money. Ron Kind and Derek Van Orden raised huge amounts of money the first half of the year. You know, that's one of the reasons why a lot of people are a little surprised that Ron is getting out of the race.
I did get
he is already raising money.
I did get a text, Joe, from Ace. He says Ron Kind has $1.3 million cash on hand. Then he ensues that Ron just gets to put that in his pocket and go home with it.
No, not the case. You can't use it for any personal purposes.
Okay.
You can give some of that money to other candidates. Let's say, for hypothetical, that Steve Doyle is the nominee. You can transfer that money to him. You can use it for political purposes and sometimes political expenditures, but you got to be a little bit careful about it. You know, Derek Van Orden used some campaign money to go out to Washington in early January, and he got criticized for that because he said, well, it was campaign-related. But whether it was or not, you know, it's left up to other people that want to criticize it.
I love
but
how you...
You cannot use it just for any purpose at all.
I love how you said early January. We all know what day it was, but I guess maybe he flew there on a different day. What's Van Orden's strategy now? Because he doesn't get to just attack Ron Kind.
Yeah, he certainly got to change. He maybe has some opponent that he can attack, but he's not going to have that same kind of record that he did against Ron Kind. It's attack, attack, attack. By the way, there have been ads on TV already, both for Ron Kind and against Ron Kind. So, I mean, the campaign in some respects has already started. But for Derek Van Orden, I think he's going to have a little more of a why should you vote for me rather than vote against his opponent. He was riding the crest of the Trump success in this area, and I don't know whether that's going to repeat in 2022.
All right, Joe, do Democrats flip the script here? Whatever Democrat runs in Ron Kind's space here, do they just attack Van Orden? Are we just going to see super attack ads on the other side?
Well, it seems like we've moved in that direction, Rick, don't you think? More and more negative ads. We all hate them, but yet the psychologists say that we pay more attention to negative ads. But I would think that to a greater degree, you'd want to hear what people are going to vote for rather than against.
And
in other words, the theory is, these are representatives. I'll say it 100 times. These are representatives. These people are supposed to go to Washington and vote and represent this area as best they can. And that's one of the reasons that Ron Kind does have a relatively positive view in his district, is that there's a perception that he does represent the district pretty well, or at least he has. So that's, I think the Democrats, as you know, there's a moderate wing, and then there's the progressive liberal wing, and it's going to be interesting to see which of those two wings gets to be gets the nominee through the primary system. That's going to be one of the immediate things that I think about is it going to be a successor to Ron Kind that is a moderate that can reach across the aisle, which is what the public wants, or is it going to be somebody that represents one of the more extreme wings of the parties?
Does this have a big impact on just the U.S. House of Representatives in general? Where did Ron Kind sit on that totem pole, being there 26 years?
Well, he's considered a moderate. He is one of the few people they change their names, but essentially there's a group of representatives who get together and basically work together across the aisle. I think it was referred at one time to Blue Dog Democrats, if I remember correctly. I'm not sure if the name is the same anymore, but that particular legacy I think is important. And I frankly think that that's one of the things that, at least in this district, I think the people prefer to have somebody that can reach across the aisle, at least attempt to work with the other party.
All right. That's political science professor Joe Heim. Hey, Joe, thanks a lot for joining me.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks.
All right, Brooks. See you later. All right. I got to went a little long there. I got to get Brad back to do the news. Scott's comment before that. When we come back, La Crosse County Democratic Party Chair William Garcia will help us discuss Ron Kind's retirement.
But the other sad truth is, besides me running out of gas, is I'm part of a dying breed in public service today in Washington and certainly in Madison. Someone who tried to be reasonable, pragmatic, thoughtful, worked hard to try to find common ground with my colleagues, work in a bipartisan way to find bipartisan solutions for the challenges that we faced.
All right, welcome back to La Crosse Talk PM. That's Ron Kind announcing that he is not seeking a 27th term to Congress? Is that right, William? 13th term. There it is, 27th year. That's William Garcia. He's the La Crosse County Democratic Party chair. But William, we almost have to do a special DMV podcast on this, I think, maybe.
Yeah, I think we probably will.
Okay, so Ron Kind retires. He talked about that a little bit. What do you want to talk about first? We can already go into the idea that we... Well, how about this? We're losing... kind of a middle of the road, old school politician who isn't just battling the other side. And I think his opponent in the last election is a perfect example of what the opposite of Ron Kind is. Do you just want to talk about losing a politician like that in Ron Kind?
Yeah, I mean, Ron Kind has consistently been ranked as one of, if not the most bipartisan members of Congress. And so it was one of the reasons he was so effective for the people of Wisconsin. The 3rd District is a, moderate district. We've got Republicans, we've got Democrats. But across the board, people in the 3rd District really trusted Ron. They believed in his vision. They believed in his hard work. And I think that that's what the voters are going to look for next term. I think that the legacy that Ron Kind brings in terms of his bipartisanship, his willingness to kind of work with either party to get things done for the people of Wisconsin, I think that's what's going to come forward in the election coming forward.
Does the Democratic Party chair of La Crosse County have like a top three, a top five list of who might run?
You know, we are officially nonpartisan in the primaries, which means that we don't take a stand one way or the other. So I don't really want to, guess one way or the other. I will say, though, that I'm hoping that we get a strong primary field, people with, from across the range of Democratic ideology, from the political world, from the business world, from the nonprofit world. So I'm just really looking forward to kind of a robust debate within the Democratic Party to find out who's really going to be the best person to kind of for us to send to Washington.
Yeah, it would be nice to have like just a, you know, we had a little bit, even we had it last election a little bit. We had Mark Newman run against Ron Kind, and I would say Mark was, very far. I don't know if he's very far, but he's left. Ron Kind's down the middle. Ron Kind's almost a Republican, if you want to just go in the world.
I think he's pretty strongly a Democrat. I would not say that he's almost a Republican.
He's a center Democrat. Okay. But in the grand scheme of where people are on the political spectrum, Ron Kind's pretty close to the middle.
Yes, he's very, very, he is very close to the middle. He always kind of voted and legislated from his kind of personal belief system. He never felt encumbered by, having to follow the party line in one way or another. And I think that's going to be what we're going to see in the Democratic primary coming up, is who can come forward and say, I'm really going to work for, everyone in Wisconsin. I'm going to work with whoever I can to make the world better here.
Do you think the district changes all that much? After they redraw the maps?
I think it will probably change a little bit. I'm hopeful that we're actually going to get a better map. And if we get a better map, a more fair map, I think whoever the Democratic candidate is will have a pretty good advantage. However, if the Republicans get the map they want, they will, of course, attempt to, just draw out the smallest little liberal section they can in the hopes of cutting down the margin and giving the third to the Republicans.
Yeah, it would be easy. You just shrink the map a little bit so all the UW schools on the outlier of the 3rd District are cut out.
And that's why the Republicans drew it that way, because that's why it goes weirdly from Eau Claire to Stevens Point and then down to La Crosse, is because they're trying to concentrate these strongly liberal areas in one district.
Yeah,
and balance it out with a kind of more conservative rural.
Yeah, and I think down to even Stout. I want to say Stout, but there's another UW school in there, or maybe two more.
One down there.
What is the strategy? I talked about this with Joe Heim just before. The strategy for Derek Van Orden, and it seemed to work pretty well. It got him pretty close.
Yeah, his strategy is gone now.
Yeah.
His strategy, all he has done, if you look at his Facebook page or listen to his speeches, all he can do is lobby personal attacks at Ron Kind. He has no ideology. He has no policy. So all he can do is kind of lob personal attacks. And now that he can't do that anymore, I think the one thing that Derek Van Orden is going to try and do, and we're going to work really hard to not let him get away with it, is he's going to try and take credit for Kind retiring. He's going to come out and say, Kind was, afraid of me, and I'm going to... And that is just absolute garbage. After 26 years serving as a congressperson with, with distinction, I think the last thing that would drive his decision to retire would be having to face someone as kind of ludicrous as Derek Van Orden.
That's what that would have been the question to ask him if Kind was taking questions today. Kind, were you afraid of Derek Van Orden after you already beat him running again?
It would be right. Just kinda... You've already beaten him once, and then after beating him, you participated in an insurrection, which, you know, most Americans don't like. So I really don't think that Derek Van Orden factored one way or another in this decision.
What's the impact of just losing Kind in a House of Representatives where, you know, we lose this guy that's a 26-year veteran and I guess
it's going to lose a lot of institutional knowledge. You know, Ron Kind serves on the House Ways and Means Committee. The House Ways and Means Committee is one of the most powerful committees in the House of Representatives. And so having someone as kind of powerful with as much political clout as Ron Kind is always good for a district. You know, we are obviously very sad to kind of lose that prestige, but I'm still very hopeful that we're going to have a strong Democratic primary for the seat, and we're going to whoever wins is going to emerge as an excellent candidate for our district.
How does the La Crosse County Democratic Party chair hear of Ron Kind's impending retirement, and why didn't you break this news to me so that I could announce it before the 3 p.m.?
I got an email, but I was at work all day.
Okay. Did you get an email?
Darn having to work.
Did you get an email that said he's going to announce his retirement, or how does that work?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, because
saying, "Hey, here's what's going on."
And how did you take that news?
Well, I mean, again, I think mostly at the moment we're just sad about the fact that we're losing such an outstanding congressperson. I don't want to pretend like it's all like happy. Not because we're afraid about losing the seat, but just because we are sad about losing such an exceptional representative.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's thinking that you're happy about this news. It's just but is it surprising to you? I mean, when Ron Kind won, me and Dr. Anthony Trigosky were already plotting his retirement to run for Senate. So we were doing that, you know, 3 days later after the election. Sure. You might even been thinking that in the back of your head.
Right. Well, I mean, first off, the first thing I could say is that after 26 years of doing a job as difficult and demanding as being a U.S. congressperson, it makes total sense to me. What did he say in his statement, that he ran out of gas? That makes complete sense to me. That is a grueling job. You've got to go back and forth. You're on planes twice a week, flying back and forth to Washington and then coming home and then participating in everything here and then participating in everything there. It is a difficult and grueling job. And so after 26 years, no one can be faulted for deciding to retire.
I think people would disagree with you that it's tough to go from D.C. to. But no, I'm just kidding. Does him saying that he ran out of gas kind of hint to the fact that he won't run for a Senate seat? Because then we're just going to point to the ran out of gas comment.
Oh, no, I don't know. I think, it's pretty easy to refill a tank. So if he ran out of gas now, you know, a couple months down the road, he might be up and ready to go again. I don't know one way or the other, but it would not surprise me.
I've got a good campaign. Maybe I should get on his campaign team for Senate. He ran out of gas, but he's switching to electric.
Yeah, there it is. There it is. That's the key term.
All right, Will, I'll let you go, man. Thanks a lot for chiming in here on Ron Kind's retirement.
All right, have a great day.
You too. All right, welcome back to La Crosse Talk PM. Just a couple minutes left here in the show. 608-785-7914. Talking Ron Kind announcing that he is not seeking a 14th term for Congress, which is a long time to be in Congress. He did talk about his future a little bit. We can just play that clip. I think this is the right clip. I have a lot of clips.
And beyond that, we don't know. Well, we're excited by the prospects and the new opportunity, the new chapter that Tawny and I are going to embark upon. But we can promise you this. She and I were both born and raised here. We chose to raise our family here. This is home. This is where we're going to stay, and we're going to stay deeply committed to this community and finding new ways to give back and contribute and help grow and strengthen this community, this district that has been so good and decent to us throughout the years. So,
and I mentioned William Garcia just before. It's kind of funny that we're in this time where somebody wins an election and immediately we begin speculating that they're going to retire or run for another seat. And me and Dr. Anthony Jurgoski did talk about that, like right after Ron Kind did win. And this was what Ron Kind a couple days later had to say about that.
You're a political junkie, I know. And so he's a poli sci professor at UWL. So, I mean, you guys love those type of conversations.
Yeah.
Man, we just had a long campaign season. The last thing people want to hear is another campaign is about to start. So maybe for the sake of our American psyche, we can just hit the pause button, let the elected reps try to do their job here, and then that campaign is going to be on us sooner than anyone wants anyway.
And he's right in a way, but he's also wrong. First of all, he retired. We were right. Jurgoski did text me after he heard the news. He's like, we were right. but also, whether or not Ron Kind, even if he was remaining in the seat, whether or not he's campaigning for his own seat 2 years down the road, Derek Van Orden announced, you know, not too long after the election, too, that he was going to run again. So it'll be interesting, too, to see if Republicans run anyone else. Brad talked about it earlier, Brad Williams, just the idea that Republicans just run. They pick their guy and they run with that guy instead of like opening it up and letting the people vote on who is going to run in that seat. It'll be interesting to see if Republicans, you know, if the other Republicans come forward and go, yeah, Derek Van Orden's running, but I want to run too, right? And will they have the backing of the party? Will the party allow them to run? You know, there's money involved, I think, in that strategy, whether or not they get funding from the party. So there's a whole other case for talking about like getting money out of politics and stuff like that. And term limits, I think Joe maybe convinced me a little bit. JP texted in term limits, talking about term limits. Joe might have convinced me a little bit that term limits might be a good thing, because just the advantage an incumbent has and the re-election rate of an incumbent. And then it's just hard to unseat, even as a Democrat. If you don't like Ron Kind, or if you want to see somebody else run in that seat, it's hard to, you know, if you wanted Mark Newman, who ran against Ron Kind last time and just got slaughtered, if you wanted him to win that election, it's almost impossible for somebody to come in and unseat an incumbent. But all right, that's all the time I have for today. Tim Grinke, the La Crosse County District Attorney. We're going to talk about, we could talk about a whole bunch of things, triple homicide, the Copeland Park hate crime incident. But thanks for listening.